Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. All this week, with 2012 winding down, we've been looking back at the year in music. Maybe you've seen our online end-of-year music survey. Maybe you've even filled one out. Maybe you're even one of the listeners we're hearing from this week. Mostly, we've been talking about the best, the favorite, the most memorable. But as always, there's a flip side. The unwanted, the unloved, the memorable for all the wrong reasons. We asked two writers and critics to turn our survey upside down, and their results, possibly contentious and almost certainly hilarious, are coming up in just a bit. But before we head down the rabbit hole, NPR music critic Ann Powers wants to keep us out in the sunshine. She joins us from the studios of Alabama Public Radio in Tuscaloosa. Ann has answered the questions in our music survey as well. Good to talk to you again, Ann.
Good to talk to you too. Happy end of 2012. Happy surviving the apocalypse. Congratulations.
We're all still here, yeah. Now, before we talk about recordings, concerts figure prominently in a couple of the answers that you gave to our survey. Of course, one of them is most memorable concert. You see a lot of shows. What one really stuck out for you?
Well, I was lucky enough to see Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band perform one of their first shows on what's become one of Bruce's most memorable live tours and live years. So he performed at South by Southwest at Austin City Limits this year, and it was just a killer. The new material was incredible. The tribute to Clarence Clemons was really beautiful, and seeing the boss in an intimate space that he still made feel like an arena, even mm-hmm. though it wasn't, was just a great moment in my life.
And he had a couple of guests, including Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
He did have Tom Morello came out and performed with him, and as did Will and Regine from Arcade Fire, and Jimmy Cliff actually was there too. It was an all-star night. Yes, and I think Joe Ely might have been on stage too. It was one of those South by Southwest concerts where the stars kept, you know, wandering in with their shiner box in their hands, their fingers still greasy from barbecue. It was a great night.
I'm insanely jealous to have missed it. Bruce Springsteen with Tom Morello and Ghost of Tom Joad live at South by Southwest. Obviously a fan recording from that Bruce Springsteen concert at Austin City Limits during the annual South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas. Ann Powers was there. That's her most memorable concert of the year. That sounds like it was quite an event. And in our music survey, one of the questions is biggest disappointment of the year. There was another sort of live, I'll say, concert performance that figures into your answer, right?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, and this is apropos coming right after talking about Bruce Springsteen, who had such an amazing year playing live, campaigning for Barack Obama, you know, just being out there and being himself, the leading rocker of our time. The most highest grossing tour this year was Madonna's, of course. And I have to admit, I didn't see the tour, but she also performed at the Super Bowl halftime show with a couple of young women that she was trying to take under her wing, one of whom was MIA, a young artist I totally admire. MIA did something during that performance that a lot of people didn't approve of. She made a gesture. She gave the finger, we'll say. And unfortunately, it really blew back on her. I think she was just trying to maybe be punk, react to being in a situation that she, as a subversive artist, didn't really fit in. And it's really sad because MIA is so great. She continues to be great, in my opinion. She put out an amazing single and video this year with Bad Girls, and yet this one gesture, an impulsive gesture, overshadowed all of that.
And what did you think of Madonna with her MDNA record?
Unfortunately, that was another disappointment for me. I admire Madonna so much, but this record was trying to keep up with trends that she started years ago and just didn't feel innovative to me. It didn't feel like a record she should be making at this point in her career. I was very disappointed in it.
All right. So from a veteran to a newcomer, we asked who your favorite new artist or new band of the year was. Who'd you pick?
Well, I was lucky enough to discover an artist this year that I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from. Her name's Alinda Lee Segarra, and she leads a band called Hooray for the Riff Raff out of New Orleans, Louisiana. She's from New York City, actually, and when she was a teenager, she took off and rode the rails a little bit and traveled around, settled in New Orleans, and started this band. It's Americana with a very young, fresh, youthful sensibility. She's remaking traditions through her own voice, and I'm just so struck by her voice. Literally, I love her singing voice. So that's Hooray for the Riff Raff.
The album and the song are called Look Out Mama. Look Out Mama from the band called Hooray for the Riff Raff out of New Orleans, and Ann Powers picking the newcomer of the year. She's with us on Soundcheck today. She took our online music survey. You can see all of her answers on our website, soundcheck.org, and you can take the survey yourself. We've been getting a lot of really interesting answers from you folks and from our critics, some of whom will continue to join us as we head through the show, and from our own staff, whom we'll hear from later on. And we start the survey with a pretty obvious question. Favorite album? Was this an easy choice for you?
Well, as I wrote on the record blog on NPR Music, the top five albums that I chose were all pretty much consensus picks this year. Frank Ocean's Channel Orange was a huge favorite among critics, as was Fiona Apple's Idler Wheel and Fun's wonderful Some Nights. But after some meditation and thought, I put Miguel's Kaleidoscope's Dream at the top of my list. And the reason is because this is not just a critic's album. This is an album that sounds great on the radio, that crosses over, and that brings so much pleasure and just sex appeal and fun that, for me, it was the most pleasurable listen of the year.
And Miguel is a name that has been cropping up quite frequently, along with Frank Ocean, in these surveys. We've heard, I think we've heard from him at least once or twice already this week, which gets to our trend question, the trend that you spotted this year. You wrote, R&B Renaissance goes further than just Frank Ocean and Miguel. What did you mean by that?
Frank Ocean and Miguel have received tons of attention, partly because they made great records, partly because they both have interesting backstories. But so much is happening in R&B, or what you want to call it, I don't know, soul music, urban music, beyond those two artists. I mean, Melanie Fiona made a great record this year, a Canadian R&B singer, Gregory Porter, mm-hmm. who's a jazz singer.
Yep.
I love him. That was one of my top records. And so many young female artists. You know, there's been a lot of talk that this R&B renaissance is a guy thing. I think that's totally wrong. And I think we're going to hear next year from all these women, women like Elle Varner and Winter Gordon. And one of my favorites is Dawn Richard, who was in a group called Danity Kane, and now is doing really innovative stuff and is going to put out a record in 2013 that I think will become a huge critics' favorite and hopefully cross over and have some hits too.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Dawn Richard. This is a song called Pretty Wicked Things.
I didn't know wonder could be so frightening until love went dark, lost the sun on your part, and all the pretty little things that held us together.
That is Dawn Richard, Pretty Wicked Things. That's quite a production, Anne.
I know. That's one of the most interesting things about urban R&B music right now is that there's so much experimentation going on in the studio, so many different kinds of sounds, very influenced by electronic dance music that's
Absolutely.
So huge right now.
Yeah.
You know, but also, I think, connecting back to one of my favorite periods in pop music, which was kind of the early to mid 70s, when soul artists started to transform their sound, influenced by rock, influenced by funk, and really do very experimental things. Mm. You know, artists like Bill Withers, who's a huge influence on Gregory Porter, for example, or Terry Callier, who passed away this year, his original recordings, I don't know, Curtis Mayfield, you know?
Yeah,
we hear those sounds. Cody Chesnutt made a record this year called Landing on 100 that first time I heard it, I thought, oh my gosh, it's a Curtis Mayfield record. And that's an exciting thing to say in any year.
Well, and then, of course, there's the English band The Heavy, a kind of a Led Zeppelin meets Curtis Mayfield sound, which we've been hearing on TV commercials in this country for a couple of years now.
And then the Alabama Shakes, my beloved
exactly,
Alabama
yeah,
Shakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge Southern Soul revival. That's another big story for next year.
All right. So for this year, though, looking back at 2012, what was the biggest musical surprise?
Biggest musical surprise was this band that I thought were gone for good, the Swans. The Swans, led by Michael Gira out of New York City.
Right.
Actually, he's got one of those names, Gira. Somebody
yeah,
better.
I thought it was Jira, but I'll go with whatever you say.
Swans out of New York City, longtime favorite of the industrial music community, came back with a record called The Seer that was so intense, so powerful, and really took a particular world by storm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a top record, one of the best reviewed records of the year, and it's not an easy listen, but I think it's a really substantial record from a band that many thought would never have put out a record like this again.
Well, and it, you know, it's probably worth saying that Michael Gira is sort of the only kind of steady member of Swans. So fans of some of their classic recordings, this is a different lineup, but it's a great record. It's called The Seer, and this is The Seer Returns.
Here naked, there's a hole in my chest.
The Seer returns from the album The Seer, which marked the return of Swans, a New York sort of post-industrial band, had their heyday, we all thought, in the 80s, maybe early 90s, back with an album called The Seer that was critically acclaimed. And Ann Powers, NPR music critic, joining us from Alabama Public Radio Studios, has that on her music survey as the big musical surprise of 2012. And Ann, at some point, we come back to one of the more obvious questions on our survey, and that is favorite song. Many places you could have landed on here. What did you come up with?
Actually, there was only one place I could land.
That clear cut, huh?
It was pretty clear cut. And I think this honestly would fit under biggest musical surprise, too. It's Usher doing Climax, an amazing single produced by Diplo, who worked with MIA early on in her career and is also in the group Major Lazer. So you have coming together a veteran classic R&B singer,
right,
kind of, you know, a young veteran, but one who's been around for a while, teaming with this very future-thinking producer to make a song that combines the best of both worlds, and I just think was a little world unto itself. So good. I can't stop listening to it even now.
Well, here it is. Climax from Usher.
Gave my best, it wasn't enough. You get upset, we argue too much. We made a mess of what it used to be, love. So why do I care? I care at all.
That's the song Climax from Usher's record Looking for Myself. That's Ann Powers' favorite song of 2012, and she feels pretty strongly about it. As with the Dawn Richard clip that you played for us, and a fair amount of electronic music influence in the production there, too.
Yeah, and as I said before, I think that's one interesting kind of tension right now in pop music. On the one hand, you have all this experimentation and very unusual sounds, even in the biggest hits, you know.
Mm.
And on the other hand, you have this return to classic roots music that I mentioned, the Alabama Shakes, of course, bands like Mumford & Sons and the Lumineers having huge years playing essentially folk music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the bands I see down here in Alabama, where I live during the school year, are returning to that classic kind of soul or folk or country sound. And it's fascinating to me that both of these things are happening. It says something about, I don't know, our post-apocalyptic moment, I guess.
Now, Anne, you are not known as a hater, but I'm going to ask you to hate on one song, worst song or worst album of the year.
Well, I'm not a hater, and it was a little hard for me to do this part of the survey, but there is one song I think that deserves the hate of all people, of all women, of all mothers like myself, and that song is Glad You Came by The Wanted. Now, look, I'm a boy band aficionado, and One Direction, that What Makes You Beautiful is like my second favorite single of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But this song, there's a particular line where he offers the girl a drink that just feels very unethical and creepy to me, and the whole song to me feels like a really bad date that I hope my daughter, when she gets old enough to date, never goes on. So I do not like this song.
As Anne wrote in her written answers to our online survey, which you can see at soundcheck.org, it's the roofie anthem of the year by The Wanted.
Cast a spell on me, you hit me like the sky fell on me, and I decided you look well on me, so let's go somewhere no one else can see you and me. Turn the lights out now I'll take you by the hand you another drink it if you can you spend a little time.
glad you came.
The
sun goes down.
The Wanted with Glad You Came. Ann Powers doesn't want it, doesn't want to hear it again. Hand you another drink, drink it if you can. Yeah, I see what you're talking about, Ann.
Yeah, it's just not... There's a lot of nice, you know, and there's so many songs this year. Actually, there was actually a song called Wanted by Hunter Hayes, the country artist. It's all about loving your woman and then being sensitive. There's a Neo song that's the same thing. Why not go with that? Why not go with empowerment instead of, like, get you in a corner and have my way with you? Yuck. Yeah.
Ann Powers is NPR music critic. She's been joining us from the studios of Alabama Public Radio in Tuscaloosa. You can see all of her answers to our year-end music survey at soundcheck.org. Ann, happy holidays and all the best for 2013.
We'll talk to you in the new year. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Soundcheck, and our survey is still online. We've had not just critics and writers and our staff filling it out, but listeners, too. And right now, we'd like to check in with one of them, because Jacob from New Brunswick, New Jersey, answered 4 of the 8 questions in our survey with a single band, a band that Ann Powers mentioned a few minutes ago, and that is Fun. His biggest musical surprise, his most memorable concert, but also his biggest musical disappointment and worst song or album. Jacob, I don't understand. Do you like this band or not?
I really do, John. Their first album, Aim and Ignite, I heard it probably late 2010 for the first time, and it blew me away. There isn't a single miss on the album. Every song is great, Farlights in particular, but, you know, Be Calm, Walking the Dog. It was really fantastic. So, you know, the second album comes out, I'm really excited. But I think it was just the sophomore slump. You know, it wasn't up to the same speed.
Well, and of course, the irony of that being, in your eyes, a sophomore slump is that it was a breakthrough record for the band Fun, basically on the strength of the single, We Are Young.
And you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
So We Are Young took Fun to the top of the charts. It was Jacob's biggest musical surprise of the year. It was also your most memorable concert. So did these songs that you weren't so crazy about on the second Fun record, did they come alive for you in live performance?
They were definitely better live. I saw them up in Boston in April. And I was actually glad they played more of the old album, which threw me for a surprise. Because I went in, I wasn't expecting much. Because after the second album, I was thinking I would be disappointed. But after that concert, it was probably the best concert I've ever been to. They work a crowd. The energy is extremely high. Some of the songs did come out better. Some Nights is a really good song. We Are Young as They Carry On is a very strong song. But then there are songs like It Gets Better that just leave me asking, why would you record something like that?
And that's what led you to put Some Nights by Fun as your worst album of the year on our music survey. But so you're telling us that we should go for the first record, Aim and Ignite.
Most definitely. It was fantastic. I can't complain about it. Every song was different, but the energy was high, the emotion was there. And the second album, it just seems like they dialed it back a bit. For whatever reason, I don't know. But
All right. First
album is the winner.
All right, Jacob, we're going to take your word for it. We're going to hear a little bit from Bar Lights, from Aim and Ignite, the first record by Fun. Jacob, thanks for filling out our survey and for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
This is Soundcheck.
Have I seen eyes as empty as these streets in my city on a Saturday night? Or the green of your eyes, city gold, leave it all behind. But I don't need to be reminded a change is gonna come. I can feel it on the tip of your tongue. And I feel alive, I feel alive.
In a moment, the dark side of our online music survey as we hear about the worst of the year. That's up next. This is Soundcheck.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. All this week, we've been looking back at the year 2012 in music, and we've been talking a lot about best moments, favorite music, memorable concerts. All of that is on our online music survey, which you can find, along with many people's answers, on our website at soundcheck.org. But when it came to music critic Maura Johnston and Spin's senior editor Chris Weingarten, we asked them to take the evil twin of our online music survey to tell us about what didn't work, what was truly awful, what was the least memorable music, and they have put together quite a list for us. Chris, Maura, welcome back.
Hello.
Hey there.
So let's start with the task that we set you guys. How was this fun? Was it easy?
It was tempting to not just write everything in all caps blinking text in the email, because that's how I feel about this year.
Really? Not a good year for
No, it was a fantastic year.
No, it was
year.
A really good year.
Right. But there was a lot of really terrible stuff.
Because the widening of the marketplace and the widening of available songs just means that the widening of really bad stuff also is happening, and you can find so much more crap than you ever could before.
I always say the democratization of the internet is good because everyone can make a record, but it's bad because everyone can make a record.
Yeah, we're with you there. So let's talk big picture. What was the worst musical trend of the year? We've been asking people to pick out important trends. What was the worst one?
I mean, I think it would have to be the sort of Sons of Mumford post Mumford and Sons Arcade Fire, like combination of like stomping around the campfire but with this really big bombast. This year, for a brief time in New York, there was this radio station, New Rock 101.9,
right,
that specialized in alternative rock. It is now a satellite
sports
of
talk. Yeah.
WFAN. Yes. But I loved listening to that radio station, except when songs by these bands came on, because they were always just so blatantly pandering to the Grammy crowd that loves authenticity and big gestures and opportunities for people to shout.
Are you saying inauthentic authenticity?
Inauthentic authenticity, that is what I'm saying. And just the songs weren't good, and it was just like a lot of hollering for nothing.
So bands like Lumineers, Old Crow Medicine Show.
Of Monsters and Men, Imagine Dragons, the sort of like mandolin and banging that just, ugh. I'm getting the chills.
The sound of the year's worst trend, according to Chris and Maura, here is Mumford and Sons with I Will Wait.
Now in some way, well as strong, and use my head alongside my heart.
Mumford and Sons with I Will Wait. Their album from this year, Babel, was Billboard's number one rock album of the year. It's up for 6 Grammy Awards, and yet Chris Weingarten and Maura Johnston sitting here shaking their heads.
Man, it ain't fun to do air mandolin, let me tell you.
Another trend sort of plays out in your answer to our question about the least memorable concert of the year.
Oh, yes. EDM and electronic dance music is the biggest youth movement of this generation, full stop. When they start doing the generation montages in car commercials in a couple years, it's like, we got disco clothes and 80s new wave. It's going to be all kids in a field, like with glow sticks. And the Grammys realized they had to recognize this fact, and they did it in this very condescending attempt to put EDM, we're telling our audience that EDM is the same thing as rock, but anyone who's been listening to electronic music for the past 20 or 30 years knows that. So the thing they needed was Skrillex, who has the best stage show of anyone on the festival circuit, rock bands included. He's a rock star, but they couldn't get him. So they got Deadmau5 and Chris Brown and Lil Wayne and David Guetta and the Foo Fighters in this disgusting mashup. The audience was dressed too nice to be dancing. David Guetta has no personality on stage. you know, there's a reason that he's not on television. You know, Lil Wayne didn't know where to go when he was done. And and then, like, to hear, you know, Foo Fighters, who went on a rant that night about authenticity in rock and roll, like, doing this terrible Spawn soundtrack smash up with with dead mouse it was nothing to anything. It pleased nobody.
Well, you kind of have to see it to believe it. So folks, you can check out the video on our website at soundcheck.org, where you can see all of Chris Weingarten and Maura Johnston's answers to our dark end of the year music survey, the least and the worst. All right, so let's start calling people out here. Let's start naming names. Least favorite new artist or new band of the year.
Oh, that would have to be the Mercury Prize winning act Alt-J, or they're Delta Sign.
It's a Delta Sign.
It's a Delta Sign. It's a triangle.
It's fun for folks at home if you want to try that at home on your computers.
Yes.
It's a triangle.
So they won the prestigious Mercury Prize in the UK, which is annually given to the best recording made in Ireland or Great
Subjective.
Britain.
Subjective analysis of the best recording, yes, and I was not on that panel.
You were not impressed.
No, you know, it's like,
what's wrong with Alt-J?
I feel like this is the middle point between wan and wanky, where it's just like this really sort of like limp indie rock, but then it's got these prog overtones, and it just sounds like somebody left like a Steve Miller Band record out in the rain. It's just really terrible, and the lyrics are so.
But it's called an awesome wave. It says right there in the title, awesome.
It's music for like low middle brow people to think they're low highbrow people, and it's like, oh really, Kat? You heard Yeasayer and Wild Beast? Good for you, homie.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit. See what you think of Alt-J. And Alt-J with Fitz Pleasure from their album An Awesome Wave. They won the Mercury Prize over in England. Chris Weingarten, senior editor at Spin, and Maura Johnston, music critic here in New York.
Voice like a choir of angels, that guy.
Hating on Alt-J. Least favorite newcomer of the year. We're getting their through the looking glass answers to our end of the year music survey. We've been asking people for their favorite song of the year. We asked you guys for your least favorite song. And first I want to ask, are these consensus choices between the two of you?
We have a very scientific method of determining what deserves to get the worst. We've been doing this now this is our fourth year of figuring out, you know, the least pleasurable music. And we do it as a public service because this way, you know, if you read about a band or if you see a post on a music blog, you'll have our voices in your head nagging and being like, no, stop, don't do it. But yes, no, we are very precise and we toss out things and we argue. We argue in the process, but then we come to a consensus.
All right, so consensus choice for least favorite song of 2012.
Well, unfortunately, it can't be Train every year. So this this year we went with POD's West Coast Rock Steady. And if you don't know what year this is, 2012
is... I was going to say, wasn't POD, aren't they a little past their sell-by
date? Yeah, it's officially a decade past the sell date of POD and new metal entirely. And so they made a record that's this kind of like apocalyptic, left behind thing. And this song is the end times, period. You may recognize a piano riff from a popular indie rock song called 2 Weeks by Grizzly Bear, which you may have seen in a Volkswagen commercial or on How I Met Your Mother. And it's become kind of a meme, like rappers sample it a lot. And it sort of represents this breezy, like lemonade sipping Brooklyn chill vibe. And here's the dudes from the most aggro, macho, lunk-headed scene in the history of popular music, like trying to cop some of those very chill Brooklyn vibes.
Chris, you need to learn to express yourself and not pull your punches. Let's do this. Here's a little bit of what Chris is talking about. This is the Grizzly Bear song, 2 Weeks. All right, that's pretty familiar. Now, here's the song Chris and Maura are talking about by the band P.O.D.
Check this out. Say, Dog Cypress Hill, yo. P.O.D. and they coming through. So you got any problems, forget about them. Come on. Here goes one for your boys from the South Town blocks. And now, let me show you how the West Coast rocks. Hop in there. Gun man. Cali streets run man. Need some California love. Got a ton of that. Saints to angels across the map. Hop the lads around the world, but I keep coming back. To that sunshine state where even gangsters get. And all these California girls, how could you not be straight? Here's that SoCal life, and it's oh so nice. And you can feel it in the air, cause the vibes is right. I did this rock stuff, been tatted, been locked up. Imitations are serious from a battery, but not us. One by one, I'm putting them in their places on a first come, first serve basis.
That is the band P.O.D. West Coast Rock Steady is the name of the song from their album Murdered Love. The least favorite song from our esteemed guests, Chris, you know, Weingarten of Spin, Maura Johnston.
Can one year you invite us here to talk us about things that we like? Because we like things, too. We do like bands.
I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I see it. The one everyone is by now waiting to hear, least favorite album of the year.
Well, I should point out before we release this information that this record sort of vaulted to the front of the pack because of the presence of Will.i.am on it. So that's an important thing to know. But Chris, if you'd like to do the honors.
The, wow. So
words fail you.
Dublin's the script.
Uh-oh, here come the words.
You know, radio playlists have been getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And if you're a rock band now, you're not going to get serious pop radio play unless you can compete with the Black Eyed Peas and Kesha with these kind of like overblown all genre everything, you know, Frankenstein monsters that toy with EDM and rap and all this stuff. And some bands make the transition very well, and one of those bands is Fun, who's very good at mixing like Kanye style 808s auto tune and Broadway bombast and live drumming, and Maroon 5 has certainly done well for themselves. But the script is just a disaster at this, and it's the most overcompressed EDM textures. The raps on it are like bare naked ladies in that like slurry G love fun loving criminals voice. Like, I'm hard but I'm cool but I'm chill. It's about pub crawls, like, and the fake reggae patois, and then Will.i.am's on it, and there's like fake Moby on it for some reason, and there's a song about sending a girl internet links, and it hurts me. It hurts me so bad.
I almost feel like I don't need to hear it at this point.
Like,
I feel like I've
album,
already heard
much.
It. So it's an Irish band called The Script, and this is from their album Number 3.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You can be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
That is The Script, Irish band, with their album called Number 3 and a song called Hall of Fame. Chris, Maura, I gotta say, I hear a lot of stuff that sounds like this on pop radio here in the States. What what makes this such an emblem of all that is wrong with music?
I think it's the cravenness of it. I mean, I think that I don't think One Republic put out a record this year, so that probably helped, because I feel like that's the sort of American analog of this genre.
So
melding.
A band that is trying to be all things to all
people. All things to all people without offending anyone, which is, I think, the key, right? Because, like, that's the whole idea.
Yeah, the fact...
I mean, you can have a lot of genres going on in your music, but if you ultimately are doing it just so that you can, like, stay on Grey's Anatomy while also appealing to, you know, fan bases that may not watch Grey's Anatomy anymore, then... What are you saying? Like, what are you actually doing except for giving will.i.am more production work, which he does not need?
Yeah. You know, I think Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars and Fun all made great pop records
that
toy with a lot of genres, but they just don't do it safe. You know, when Taylor Swift does a dubstep song, she leaps into it and makes it, like, a little ugly and a little mean and a little weird. And, you know, that's what pop music's been about forever. Like, that's...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I know that you guys claim to have some particle of positivity in your pitted souls somewhere, so we're going to end with a chance for you to display that. Who was out there this year that disappointed you, that could have made this list, but that you actually have hopes for in 2013, that you think, you know, could come back? And come back even stronger and better than ever.
Well, that was Christina Aguilera, for sure. Christina Aguilera put out a record called Lotus, and it's a very uneven pop record. It's her trying on a lot of different styles. For some reason, you know, even though she's so defined by her voice and her vocal prowess, you have her, like, contorting her voice so that she sounds like Rihanna. You have her really distorting her voice electronically. And there are a lot of songs also where she's taking on people who are criticizing her and, you know, saying... You know, haters step back. And those are actually the weakest songs on the record. There are some songs on Lotus, and if it was a shorter album, this might come to the fore more, that are just really wonderful dance pop songs and that show that she can still be a really compelling star. And I think that, you know, she's taking time off from The Voice. This was her last season on it, the one that ended last week. And I think that, you know, she will really... if she can focus on just putting out good pop songs and not worry about what the tabloids are saying or what the blogs are saying or what people who put her in photoshopped YouTubes are saying, like, she can sing. She can still sing. Her voice isn't what it was when she was a teenager singing Genie in a Bottle, but, you know, she's been around now for like 15 years and she can still blow out those notes sometimes.
All right, so looking for better things ahead for Christina Aguilera after a patchy 2012. Chris Weingarten, senior editor at Spin, Maura Johnston, music critic here in New York. I don't know what kind of new year to wish you guys, but thank you for coming in and sharing some of the worst of 2012 with us.
Thank you.
I'll see you in terrible 2013.
This is Soundcheck. Christina Aguilera from the album Lotus. And once again, you can read all of Chris and Maura's answers to our anti-survey on our website, soundcheck.org, where lots of listeners have been telling us what they liked or didn't like this year. Let's hear another music pick from one of our listeners. Valentin from New Jersey took our survey. He told us that Psycho by Tommy Lee was his favorite song. Favorite new band, Austra. And favorite album was the record Devotion by this singer, Jessie Ware. Here's a bit of the single from that album called Wildest Moments.
From the outside, from the outside.
Valentin from New Jersey, his answer to our survey question, favorite album of the year, was this record, Devotion, by Jesse Ware. In a moment, we turn to some members of our own soundcheck team to find out some of their answers to our online survey. They were not immune from the ups and downs of the year. We'll check in just a moment. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today is the final day of our look back at the year in music. We've heard from some of our favorite music critics, we've heard from some of you, and we've heard from some but not all of the Soundcheck staff. Producers Joel Meyer and Greta Cohn are normally on the other side of the plexiglass in the control room, but join me now here in the studio. And guys, let's start with favorite song of the year. Ladies first. Greta?
Well, I picked The House That Heaven Built from Japan Droids for my favorite song of the year. This came from the band's second album called Celebration Rock, which kind of says it all. It's a celebration. It's totally rockin'. It's like fist-pumping, throat-shredding stuff. I saw these guys play at the Music Hall of Williamsburg, and it was so much fun. House That Heaven Built.
All right, from the Canadian band Japan Droids. That is Japan Droids, the Canadian duo from their album Celebration Rock and The House That Heaven Built. That's Greta Cohn's favorite song of the year. All of her answers, all of Joel Meyer's answers, are on our website at soundcheck.org. Joel, I turn it over now to you.
Well, John, I just want to stop this train right here, and I want to say something about the segment we just heard previous to this one on Soundcheck. When it comes to Alt-J, the opinions of Chris Weingarten and Maura Johnson do not reflect the editorial staff of Soundcheck or WNYC, for that matter. I just, as the executive producer of this show, John, I need to step up and be the captain and say and distance ourselves, myself and this show, from radicals like Chris Weingarten and Maura Johnson, because this almost, Fitz Pleasure, the song that we heard, that was almost my song of the year.
Really?
I love that song.
Okay. So send your hate mail to Chris and Maura directly is what you're saying.
Exactly.
All right. So, but if Alt-J didn't actually, if it was almost your favorite, which one ultimately was?
Okay. The Alt-J song was a little goofy. The song that is not goofy, that is like 100% awesome and 110% rock, is the song A Commotion by Mastodon, which this is from a split single. Mastodon got together with the singer-songwriter Feist. It was dubbed Feistodon, and they released
a
relic from a different era of the 80s and 90s of sort of 7-inch vinyl, a split single where Mastodon covered a Feist song and Feist covered a Mastodon song. I liked the Mastodon song more because I like Mastodon more than Feist. A Commotion, a song by Feist in the hands of Mastodon, is just mighty.
This is a Record Store Day release from Mastodon.
What was no longer there? I wasn't watching my back.
That is the band Mastodon, sort of leading the new wave of prog metal bands, and here doing a song from Feist called A Commotion, and that tops Joel Myers' list of songs for 2012.
John, I could listen to that guy drum all day.
I was going to say, there's an awful lot of double bass pedaling going on in this band.
Brandaler is basically my favorite drummer ever, and it's most of the reason I like this band, I have to say. So that's part of the reason I love that song.
All right. So now, looking over, Joel and Greta, looking over your answers to our end-of-the-year music survey, it's clear there is a difference of opinion over a certain South Korean video artist.
Well, well, well.
Greta?
Well, I think we all know who we're talking about. We're talking about Psy and the biggest YouTube video of the year, and also kind of one of the biggest hits of the year, too, Gangnam Style. I picked it as my biggest musical surprise. I thought it was a huge surprise that a K-pop song, almost entirely sung in Korean, except for Sexy Lady,
right.
became such an enormous hit. And, you know, seeing Britney Spears on Ellen DeGeneres' show doing that, like, horsey dance, mm-hmm. and pretty much seeing Congressman doing the horsey dance, like, it was everywhere. I did it. My dad does it. It was a huge surprise, and it's super catchy, and I don't hate on it. I think there's room for Psy.
I will hate on the Ellen DeGeneres show, though. No,
seeing Britney Spears do the horsey.
I will agree that it was a big surprise. No one saw this coming. I think Psy
certainly
didn't see this coming at all. But I take most issue with the video, which, of course, is the big hit. 990 million YouTube views as of this morning, John, when I checked. This video looks like a credit card commercial to me. It really just looks like an Amex Black or like whatever commercial. It doesn't really move me. I guess I don't get it.
So, worst music of the year, according to Joel Meyer. Psy's Gangnam Style. All right, break it up, you two. Greta and Joel coming to fisticuffs here in the studio over Psy's Gangnam Style. Joel Meyer and Greta Cohn, part of the production team of Soundcheck, sharing some of their answers to our online music survey. All of their answers are on our website, soundcheck.org. You'll see they actually agree on the Afghan Whigs as memorable concert presenters, producers, performers, whatever. What about Album of the Year? That's the big one. Greta, what was your Album of the Year?
My Album of the Year was Kaleidoscope Dream from Miguel. And we have already heard a lot about this album over the course of our Critics Week on the show. It's great. I listened to it a ton. It's taking R&B and moving it from the past into the future. Probably my favorite song off of that album is Don't Look Back.
Really? Not the hit, not Adorn.
No, I love Don't Look Back. I love what he does at the end. He takes an excerpt from The Zombies' Time of the Season and just pulls it into this weird, slow, molasses-y, like really psychedelic kind of spin. It's one of my favorite moments on the record.
This is from Miguel, Don't Look Back.
And promise me the moon is calling me. We locked in eyes of witness. The hope is I can be. I felt compelled to warn you. I'll never let you see. And though I care about you, the night is calling.
That is Miguel. Don't Look Back comes from his album Kaleidoscope Dream, which has been a real kind of consensus choice. A lot of critics liking this record. Greta Cohn's Album of the Year. Joel, you're the executive producer. You get the final word. What was the album of the year?
John, I want to take you way back to the 90s. When I was working at a college radio station, I spent most of my college radio years in kind of a rabbit hole of Scottish bands like the Beta Band, Mogwai, Bell and Sebastian. I really have an affection for Scottish rock. And the band Django Django and their self-titled debut really did it for me. I'd like to point out that makes this album called Django Django's Django Django. That's one of the things I love most about this record. But I also really...
I have no idea what that means.
I really, really love this album, and I also like the song Default.
Joel Meyer, Greta Cohn, you can see all of their answers to our online music survey online at soundcheck.org.
You thought you'd set the bar. I never tried to work it out. We just lit the fire, and now you want to put it out. You gave it all you got, and what you got is not a lot. Why don't you hand it over? Time is up, you've had your shot. Together once again, disasters in the end. It's like a default.
The song is Default from Django Django's Django Django. Oh, I get it now. That's the self-titled debut from the Scottish band, and you can see all of our end-of-the-year coverage and check out our Best of the Year live performance specials on our website, soundcheck.org. Our technical director is Irene Fidel. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our digital producer is Mike Katziff. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. We're saying goodbye today to our intern, Crystal Kim. Crystal, thanks for all your work and best of luck in all your future audio adventures. Join us again at this time on Monday at 9 for another Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer.
Take one for the team. You're a cog in the machine. It's like a default.